always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Wednesday afternoon by Harrison Fagan, who is back and refreshed from a nice, easy vacation. Surely your voice is holding up perfectly fine, right?
Yeah, so... I sound great. I'm doing great. I'm really happy that we're recording today an episode that I'm sure is not going to send me into a coughing fit like 75 times.
Really worked out poorly in your favor here, because we got to talk about Robin and JJ's presser from yesterday at some point. Dave McMenamin dropped a report today in which we found out LeBron James cares about game balls. And that the Lakers are apparently asking randos on the street whether they think what they think LeBron James's value is gonna be or should be. We're gonna talk also about like this season and look back on it, right, and all that stuff. Oh yeah, also we found out that the Lakers think because they employ Bronny James that should be enough to quell any like final annoyance that LeBron has towards them, which basically acknowledges why Bronny was drafted in the first place. And all of the people who were in my mentions when I called it nepotism can finally back off. And then ironically, Bronny has been better than all of the guys that the Lakers have drafted at the guard position, which kind of gives the people in my mentions plenty of ammunition to continue shooting at me. Anyway, so we got a lot that we have to talk about over the course of the show. A show brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and make a $5 lineup, and you will get $50 worth of free lineups on Prize Picks. A show that I'm hoping you are hitting the like button for, subscribing to, turning on notifications for, or if you guys are listening to the show in the morning, turning on notifications or subscribing to the show in podcast form, wherever you get them. I prefer Odyssey, but anywhere you get them is perfectly fine with me. All right, Harrison, I want to just dive right into this thing because it's frankly a hilarious, I don't think it's the final chapter of the LeBron Lakers thing, but it's certainly like a lot of like, you know how when people are about to break up, they just find the small things that the other person does, like just incredibly annoying, you know, what used to be really cute. Now it's like, God, do you really burp that much? You know, like, so it starts
really
here.
Couldn't have cleaned the sink before I got home.
It starts here, Harrison. This is how the article starts. And this is from Dave McMenamin. And by the way, Dave, if you're watching, I am not laughing at your reporting or your writing style here. I am laughing at this being something that either side thinks is worthy of being leaked. Okay, so I'm not poking holes at Dave. I'm poking holes at the people that Dave is reporting about.
Look,
so Dave starts.
I think Dave is a man who figured out how to type out a fart noise that LeBron made with his lip. Like, I think he knows the way that these stories are going to land and be intended, you know, like, I think he's aware of like, hey, you know, I'm going to bring you guys the facts. If Harrison and Anthony want to laugh themselves into coughing fits over it, then like that's my job. We should at some point rank the like Dave, like end of season, you know, bad blood stories as like an off season topic. We can go back and reread and be like, what was your favorite? Oh, now they tell us like anecdote after like everyone sort of like emptied the clips at each other after the season was over. Cause he's had like quite a few of these now. Cause the Lakers have had a couple like of these like weird years, while he's been on the beat with back with LeBron.
We also, there was a podcast excerpt, I guess, or a clip that went kind of viral from something Barstool related, about whether or not this Lakers tenure for LeBron has been a failure. And I have some thoughts on that too. I didn't bother to grab the clip. I'm just going to kind of, and this is something that other people are talking about as well. I don't really want to support anything Barstool does, so it's not going to make the show, but at some point, if we get to it, we'll get to it. But yeah, Dave starts his article this way, Harrison. Quote, with bags wrapped around both knees and slide sandals on his feet, LeBron James made a right turn out of the Los Angeles Lakers locker room and beelined to the exit at the Crypto.com arena. It was March 31, and the Lakers had just completed arguably their most impressive win of the season with a 127-113 triumph over the Cleveland Cavaliers. The victory avenged a 30-point loss to the Cavs on January 28 and capped a 32-day stretch in which LA went 16-2 to surge up the Western Conference standings. The win was the 1,229th of James's career and moved him past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most victories by any player in NBA history, combined regular season and playoffs. Not to mention, it came on a night when Luka Doncic topped 15,000 career points and Rui Hachimura reached 5,000. Still, James's celebratory mood didn't last long. Lakers coach J.J. Redick had announced all the individual accomplishments in the postgame locker room, eliciting a cascading round of applause by LA players and assistant coaches. Then Rob Pelinka, the Lakers president of basketball operations and general manager, addressed the team. He had the game ball in his hands. Rather than hand it to Hachimura or Doncic or James, Pelinka walked to the front of the room and presented the ball to Redick, who had just presided over his 100th coaching win. End quote. What do you like? Let's say Rob hands LeBron James the game ball in that moment for surpassing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in a kind of sort of made up stat, right? Most combined wins between playoff and regular season. Like,
I mean, all stats are made up, but yeah.
Nobody cares about that. No, like that was not something.
Yeah, nobody's ever been like, man, I wonder who has the most combined total wins between the playoffs. And I think it's an interesting stat, but it's also, again, it's like one of these longevity stats where they're like, LeBron's the first 40 something year old to do it. It's like, yeah, like nobody's ever done this before. He's the first like 41 year old to do everything, basically.
Technically speaking, they could have handed LeBron the ball the next night when he breaks his own record. But anyway,
it's like, definitely funniest if Rob gives it to Rui, right? Like he's
could you imagine?
He puts Rui on a second leather jacket. He's just like, Rui, you know, those 15 grand. Like, I really want you to know this is meaningful to us. It's like he's got Luka, JJ, and LeBron all like, what the hell?
What the hell?
And Rui's like, really?
He's like, I didn't know you knew. How about that?
Like, hey, you guys, he's like, you guys can have the ball. It's not a big deal to me at all. I don't know. Like,
Rui's like, you know what? Hold on. Let me cut this ball into thirds and we can share it. Like, it's like fourth assist of the year.
Gets like a butter knife out from the post game thing. And it's like, start trying to cut a Wilson ball. And they're like, Rui, no, Rui, it's okay. It's all right.
Wait, who wants Wilson? Who wants who wants the brand part? But so
Rob Luka was also mad that he didn't get the ball. Like, I want the whole team. I want Rui mad that he didn't get the ball. I want everybody mad that they didn't get the ball, you know?
But like, it's let's say that like LeBron does get it though. And LeBron has how many trophies, how many game balls, how many like things that he's acquired over the course of his career? Like if LeBron gets that game ball, does the game ball make it out of the building?
Also, like, first of all, where's he going to store all of these? I don't know. Like, how many game balls do you think he's gotten in his career? There's no way he still has all of them, right?
Yeah. There's, like, some local Y that is playing with the ball that he got for scoring his, like, 30,000th point.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's had like so many of these like the Rui and Luka level achievements where it's like, yeah, that's an achievement, but it's like it's so far below all the other things that he's achieved that I mean, I understand like it's a big like it's a big milestone.
It's an incredible achievement.
It is an incredible achievement. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, what, you know, like, you're telling me it's JJ wouldn't have given him the ball if he had just asked for it? Like, JJ doesn't care. There's no way JJ's keeping the 100. Well, I won objectively my 100th game basketball.
Objectively speaking, though, of the accomplishments there, 100th win is the worst one. It's easily the lowest on the totem pole.
It is, but in two seasons, it's with all the upheaval they have. Like, it's a good, it's an impressive stat that he had like 251 seasons in his first two seasons. But like, yeah, I agree with you. It's like sort of like, it's like, yeah, like, okay, congrats. Like, you coached two, three seasons, you know, like,
right.
Like, unless you're coaching a tanking team, like, you're going to hit 100. That's not like that big.
Coach Luka and LeBron in Austin, like, congrats, you got to 100 wins. Even JJ, I bet, was kind of like, huh? Like, actually, I remember this one. Yeah, right. Actually, they made a video of this. I think
they did make a video of this. That's why I was like, you were bringing it up, and I'm like, wait, was LeBron like in the background mad about this? I was like trying to remember if that was.
It was actually kind of a cool, because like, JJ like thanked his kids and thanked his family for like the amount, like, that.
It was
that
a nice moment.
It was a nice moment, but apparently that was something that JJ or that LeBron was like.
Didn't Rob have like a video of JJ's kids made or something? Like,
yeah, yes, you're right. Yeah, he did.
And yeah, LeBron, so it was like, it's like that this thing angry. That we all viewed as a nice moment, and it's like, you just see the ice, LeBron's ice bath fly across the room in the background. Like,
I guess I gotta find that video again. Should we?
Yeah.
All right. Tell you what. While we talk, I'm gonna see if I can find. Let's see.
I'm Lakers. Sure if the Lakers posted it, you do not see LeBron in the background, even like a little bit upset.
I just want to see what that video looks like.
My guess is like, it was stuff like this. Like, I understand, you know, he's a proud guy and justifiably so. That's a big stat. But I just like don't think that, you know, like, if I was choosing something for like, if I'm LeBron, that's not even like in like the top like 50 reasons I'm annoyed with my Lakers tenure, you know?
Well, and I think, and well, let me, I guess I could read the second part of this story that I found noteworthy. All right. So here's Dave again, quote, as the season played out, Lakers official would on occasion partake in a parlor game of sorts during games at the Crypto.com arena, sources told ESPN. An onlooker was asked to observe James play for a stretch, disregard his name and age, and evaluate his play to come up with a salary number that, air quotes, anonymous player would deserve next season. It was their attempt to gauge a fair market price for James's services. The full mid-level exception of $14.1 million, $20 million, $25, $30. LA's exercise to crowdsource a market value for James might have seemed harmless, but comparing James, the 2020 Finals MVP, to anonymous 6'9", 250-pound skills vessel could be viewed by James's camp as insulting at best, lunacy at worst. And for James to not understand the franchise's position and catering to Doncic while also disregarding the fact that the Lakers had maintained a spot for not only him, but his son Bronny, could be viewed as obtuse at best and disingenuous at worst. Dave also mentions here that LeBron took a $2.7 million pay cut in his current or the contract that just ended so that the Lakers could dip underneath the second apron at the time of his signing it. And now obviously the conversation and the reason that all of this stuff is being brought up is because if LeBron signs with the Lakers again, or if LeBron plays anywhere, frankly, this season, it will be at a steep discount. Yeah. So, you know, you have all of that kind of going on. And to the point that you made right before I started reading that, Harrison, this is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like when people are kind of sick of each other. And
yeah,
now sometimes people stick it out and the relationship continues and it maybe things get better. Sometimes they stick it out and the relationship gets worse, or sometimes they split and they go on their own two ways, and you get that, you know, the drama that unfolds that way too. So or as one of the paths that people take there. But yeah, I just think like overall, where I keep coming back to is I still say the Lakers need LeBron, and I still say that LeBron needs the Lakers. Like, think about the things that LeBron is looking for going into his next season, right? He wants to be paid an even somewhat fair amount of money. He wants to be close to his family, right? That resides in Los Angeles, and he wants to compete for a championship. Of all of the teams that he could potentially go to, or that he could even play for, let's not even include, or we can actually add to the list teams that have cap space, like Brooklyn or Chicago or, you know, whatever. Only one team in the entire league checks all three of those boxes. The Lakers can pay LeBron a remotely fair amount of money.
He's never actually gotten a fair market value. You know, I think it's should just add, like, posit that if we're talking true economic, the NBA is not a true economic system in that, like, because, right, you know, the star players were willing to take a sacrifice so that, like, the mid-level guys can get, you know, close to their level of money. LeBron's never been paid what he's actually worth and what he's making his entire career.
No, absolutely not. Right. The dude is an economy unto himself. But he wants to, you know, the Lakers can pay him a fair-ish or the fairest amount of money of all of the teams that are in this conversation. The Lakers operate, obviously, in Los Angeles, where his family lives. Box number two checked. Also, the Lakers employ Luka Doncic. They employ Austin Reeves and are looking to give those two guys a real opportunity at winning a championship this year, which would thus improve LeBron's own chances at winning a championship in his final year, probably, of playing. And so it's like, clearly LeBron needs the Lakers in that they are the only team that checks all those boxes. But also, if you think about it from just a sheer basketball standpoint, the Lakers need LeBron. Like, if LeBron leaves, they have to then replace him and also make the upgrades that they need to make in order to somehow bridge that gap between where they sit currently and where the Oklahoma City Thunder team that just swept them unceremoniously out of the playoffs currently sit. You know, and if you remove LeBron, the only star of their three who played that series even kind of healthy, then that brings into question what that roster looks like next year too. So, like, these two sides begrudgingly need each other. And I think that's why you see some of these kind of barbs sent in anticipation of the negotiations that they're going to enter into. That's why you're seeing some of these barbs kind of sent in advance of those talks. But I still think at the end of the day, LeBron, if he's going to play next year, likeliest place he's going to play is going to be the Lakers.
Yeah, I that's sort of how I feel as well. And I'm not as plugged in as you and, like, the other media members. I know I saw at least one of the beat guys was on a podcast this week saying that, like, they think this is probably it for LeBron and the Lakers. And so, like, they, you know, you all would know better than I do, but, like, my gut feeling is basically, for all the reasons you just mentioned, that it just makes a lot more sense for him to stay here. I just don't see the natural team that's out there where it's like, not only are they going to give him a payday, but that, like, he would want to go there and they would be a better lane to competitiveness, and, like, that he would want to just, like, leave his family in LA for a year. Like, I don't really see that happening. But I do think that, you know, for the me seeing all of those reasons, the Lakers also obviously see all of those reasons. And I think that's part of why you see the way that they've taken him for granted. I mean, you and I have been talking about this all year, where, like, until yesterday, Rob never said we want LeBron back. Like, maybe LeBron's greatest achievement in these playoffs was Rob should give him the game ball for this. He made Rob Pelinka say, like, we would like to have LeBron on our team next year. Where, like, every other time he was asked, he's like, you know, LeBron is LeBron and LeBron has free will. And the concept of free will is when people can make decisions and whatever. And he would just, like, filibuster over, like, that, like, LeBron's allowed to choose. And it's like, okay, that wasn't the question, though, dude. Like, the question was, do you want him back? You know, it wasn't, what does LeBron, what do you think LeBron wants, or what is free will?
Did you catch yesterday in the presser? I forget which media member, I didn't recognize her voice, but she asked, all right, so you're trying to build a young, athletic, deep roster, but you also have Luka, who's going to be making a lot of money, LeBron, who wants to be making a lot of money, Austin, who will be making a lot of money. Can you build a athletic, young, deep roster around those guys? And Rob was like, well, there are 15 roster spots. That doesn't address the amount of cap space. That
also indicative of how he sees the two-way guys. He's like, that's not a real roster spot. Who cares?
Yeah.
Just give it to whoever.
But like the other thing too, Harrison, that I that like struck me while you were talking is because, you know, talking about LeBron's family, and this is, I feel kind of dirty mentioning this, but it is the reality of the situation. Bronny's contract for next season is not fully guaranteed. And if you're LeBron and you peace out, do you fully trust that the Lakers are going to pick up that full guarantee and that Bronny is going to be employed for all of next season?
No, but I also think that it's, you know, like if you're LeBron and you're already taking this pay cut, you can get whatever team you're going to give Bronny a minimum.
I would probably say so. I would probably assume.
I don't think
so.
That's going to be that big of a consideration.
But do you even want to put your son in that spot? Like,
Bronny, probably we're both not
going to Cleveland, you know, all right, Bronny, hope you like San Francisco. Like, it's just, you know, this is kind of the, you know, the downside to that situation, because again, I may have talked about the Bronny acquisition or drafting Bronny in the first place and mentioned nepotism as the reason behind it at the time. And it may have been in debate at the time, but now it's like, it's now out there, right? The Lakers are now kind of saying, I mean, you can't say that we haven't done right by you when we literally employ your son, you know, like it's no longer me talking about whether or not this is nepotism. It is the Lakers saying, you know what's up here, man. What are we doing here?
Yeah, but also, like, I want to circle back to the, like, the valuation stuff and, like, the parlor game thing in a minute. But, like, also, like, to your point about, like, the Lakers employing Bronny and saying, like, hey, we did you a favor. Look, you know, whatever. It's like, that's bullshit. Like, I don't want to hear it from them when they were the ones that wanted to cash in on, like, the business of, like, oh, man, the father-son story and, you know, all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they wanted to sell the Bronny jerseys and sell the merch and, you know, whatever. This is a classic, like, bus family, like, placating a superstar move because we can make money off of it type of thing. And so I don't want to hear it from the Lakers of, like, oh, we drafted Bronny. It's just this favor to you and whatever. Like that wasn't something that has been in their DNA for the entire franchise's history, basically going back to Dr. Buss anyway.
Also the guards that you've drafted since, Jalen Huchefino sucked. He's out of the league. You have Dalton Knecht on his way out of the league. The guards that you've signed since then, Kobe Bufkin couldn't even get off of the bench. Nick Smith Jr. couldn't get off of the bench. Bronny, of those guys, Chris Mannion has barely even played NBA minutes to this point. You haven't exactly lit the world on fire with the young players that you've drafted instead. So, like, if anything, if I'm LeBron, I'm like, bitch, I got you the one guy that played for us, played rotation minutes for us this year.
When Austin was out, yeah.